Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the show. It's brought to you with Levi Solicitors. That 10% discount can be yours at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Three of us in today. Dan Moylan here hosting things with Michael Normanton and Rob Conlon as well, completing our trio. TSB Plus, we give you extra podcasts. We give you our entire back catalogue of mags since 2009. Digital versions, don't we? That's dead good. Daily email, dedicated podcast feeds, ad-free, loads of stuff. Won't list all the benefits here. thesquareball.net/plus. Have a look at that. Part one of the show then is where we dive into the weekly news, and the window is shut. It's slammed shut. You know that. We know that. We've not properly broken it all down, have we? So should we have a quick mention of it now? We are going to do an extra ball, actually, aren't we, for members, just where we kind of do it at a bit more length, because I think it'll probably be too much just for here.
Yeah, and we can talk a bit about, you know, some of the good aspects of it as well. Tyler Adams, Brendan Aaronson, these are nice things. I'm glad we've got them. A week ago, not so much. It wasn't going well, was it? We were into record. We thought we were signing Cody Gakpo. Then we thought we were signing Bamba Dieng.
Brad Rizzani thought we were signing Bamba Dieng.
Brad Rizzani, definitely. I mean, he thought we did, but surely he wouldn't have tweeted anything to that.
No, that would be almost unprofessional and look a bit sloppy, wouldn't it?
It'd be really jumping the gun, wouldn't it? Before he's in the country, before he's done a medical. All these things that could go wrong with a transfer, particularly of someone like Dieng, who may or may not get on a plane and may or may not pass a medical.
Funny though, because he's turned down Antwerp, didn't he?
Who did?
Dieng ended up getting farmed out, so I think he was offered the opportunity of Antwerp because their window is slightly later than ours. Didn't fancy it.
Wasn't he injured?
I don't know. They're just trying their very, very best, I think.
Because if someone's already failed a medical, they're like, do you want this guy? They'd be like, what about the...
the old leg?
Medical?
They'd be like, he can run, right?
No, it's fine. They were being too cautious about it.
I'm just going to say the important stuff is that he's known as Cody Gakpo.
Gakpo.
That's how you pronounce it properly in Dutch, I think.
That's good.
And apologies to the person who has sent that to us, but I've lost where it is now. I don't know if it's a tweet or an email or what, but wanted to correct my awful Dutch.
We're not going to have to say it very often, other than to confirm when he signs for someone else in January.
Yeah. What we did get, and what we do know, is that Willy Nyonto, a sign from Zurich. He's a lovely young lad, isn't he? Jesse didn't know much about him.
He didn't. He really didn't seem to know anything, did he, when he turned up and there was that little clip of him going...
He speaks good English.
He speaks English. Fantastic.
What's your name again, sorry, son?
What position do you play? Okay. Not left back. No? And not really...
So why are you here again?
You seem quite little for a target man as well that I was kind of hoping for.
Jesse didn't know if it was going to be Gakpo, or could it be Dieng, could have been Ben Brereton Diaz, could have been Kelechi Iheanacho, who else was there? Joel Pirro at Swansea.
Yeah, Swansea guy.
I like the Iheanacho one because they said he was unattainable, which might be because he was playing for Leicester at the time, which could have caused a slight problem.
Oh yeah, no, I thought about that, that's true.
So it was just a normal deadline day in Leeds, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we're led to believe that
The Ellen Road Insider, we have an insider, obviously.
Do we?
I think so.
Okay.
Said that Jesse demanded just to bring me a warm body.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what happened.
But
not Dan James. What were you going to say, Michael? Sorry.
From the sounds of it, we were going to sign Ngonto. If I said that right?
Nonto.
It's Nyonto.
Nonto. Him. We were going to sign him.
I think you've typed it wrong on the sheet, so it's confusing.
Okay,
brain.
That's probably right, yeah. I think I read my own writing and thought, that's not right, is it? It sounds like we were going to sign him anyway. And in an absolute...
You sound like Jesse when he first walked in.
In an absolute panic, we've gone, we fucking need someone, don't we? Christ. Yeah. Otherwise, we're going to actually just be a body down here. So we've got him.
He hasn't been to Elland Road yet, but his mum and dad have, which I really like. I mean, I like that, you know, the club have taken some pelters this week, but I will say it's nice the way that they kind of try to take this, I guess. It's almost like a holistic approach to bringing a young lad, because he is only a baby, as Jesse said, 18 years old, and they brought his mum and dad in and said, look, you're going to love it here, look at this.
I mean, you say that, but they have basically called him up at, what, 10 p.m. on a deadline day and gone, right, you're 18, you're moving from Switzerland to Leeds. Hope that's okay. I know you didn't have any plans to do this. You've not moved any of this stuff, but crack on, mate.
Yeah, I'm moving in January, right? No, now.
January, August, September.
But I will say, we've got rid of Dan James and we've brought in someone even more adorable. Isn't he cute? Did you see his interview?
He's a lovely young man, isn't he?
With his braces on.
And he's got little tiny, like childlike ears, hasn't he? Got really small ears, bless him.
Yeah, someone pointed that out to me. It's really strange. I can't unsee it now.
He's still growing. Maybe he'll grow. Your ears do keep growing as you get older, don't they?
That's true. They never stop, do they?
Ears and nose keep growing. So
Peter Reed.
Yes. So maybe he'll, his ears will grow into his head.
I'm genuinely, I feel a bit sorry for him in all the shakedown of this, because everyone's basically was like, get us a sign-in for deadline day, especially if you let in one leaf. Not that sign-in. We wanted a different, more glamorous and expensive sign-in.
It doesn't help that like a week or two before, Jesse Marsh had talked about him and said, yeah, he's someone we're definitely interested in, but he's not ready for the Premier League. And all of a sudden, he's the Dan James replacement, someone who has played in the Premier League for 3 years now. Well, this is his third year, isn't it?
Something like that.
So it's not a great look to have said he's not really good enough. Oh yes, he is. Sorry, we made a mistake
when we said that.
We were talking about someone else when we were saying that
Jan Dames.
He wasn't ready. He is ready. It turns out
always was,
and will be a fine addition. The Dan James stuff. I mean, I still struggle to be that bothered about him leaving, which is maybe unfair.
It's not less. It's less about him and his abilities, because you can see there are technical limitations to his game, can't you? He is a speed merchant. And, you know, it's like shades of Darren Huckabee in the days of yore, but it always struck me that Huckabee could finish a bit as well.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of when Tyler Roberts left, in that I was kind of, in some ways, I'm glad to see him leaving so we can see someone else from the bench.
Right.
Just because it's always Dan James and he never does anything.
But he set up a goal against Chelsea. I mean, we have a very small sample size.
Didn't they?
On that, I do sort of think, you know, the club makes such a big noise about these young players we're signing, and with some of them, I think, well, he does need to play at some point if we are going to see whether he's good enough or not. So from that
all
point
right,
of
Angus.
View, so from that point of view, I think okay, but I just feel sorry for Dan James,
old man Dan James, clogging up the pathway.
But that's the thing, like when are we going to use these young players? Like we might as well give them a few games. But yeah, for Dan James on a personal level, and it does come back to the thing of just ringing up a 18-year-old lad and making him move across Europe on deadline day, like just sending Dan James, who moved to Leeds last year, has had a kid, and now it's like, oh no, you're going to have to bugger off to London, mate. Sorry.
It doesn't paint the picture of a well-executed transfer policy, does it? I think that's where the grief has come from.
And Dan James is one of our higher earners as well, by the sounds of it, which is, I suppose that's where it does look bad for the club as well, because actually you can look at the last day of transfer business and go, oh, so you're better off from this, essentially, because I don't know how much we're paying him, but it will not be as much as Dan James, will it? So it feels like they've made a sneaky cost saving on the last day of the transfer window, which is not what anyone was really hoping for, and particularly in a day that started with us signing Cody Gakpo for £40 million, has ended with us probably saving about £50,000 a week on wages.
Yeah, messaging, it all got away from them, didn't it? And Jesse probably contributed to that. But we've said all this, and we will expand, I think, on the transfer stuff. When we do the transfer window,
the ball can have a more extended kicking in an episode of the extra ball.
But I mean, it's down to the messaging as much as anything else, isn't it?
If it was very badly executed, does the final day?
Yeah, considering how well planned it was at the start, and again, I guess we're treading on the same territory that we're going to do on that show. At the start, you went, all right, fine. If we've accepted lower fees for Rafinha and Phillips, which by the way do look fairly poxy now against some of the other fees that have happened in the window. If you've accepted those fees to do business early, fine. Angus Kinnear sat here and explained as well, with inflation as it is, sometimes better to have the money now, because in another year's time, 10 million quid might only be worth the equivalent of 9 million quid and so on and so forth. Fair enough, right? That makes sense, even if we don't agree with all aspects of it. But that end was just fucking shambolic, wasn't it? Absolutely shambolic.
Especially coming, 48 hours after Kinnear's programme notes, which again, has been over plenty of times. But part of me, as we were saying earlier, is... I was almost pleased when Rodrigo got injured, because it just showed up what absolute bollocks all that was and how the obvious things that we could see were indeed as obvious as we could see. And it's not us being stupid or impatient, but we thought we
or behaving in a manner that's perplexed, for example.
Yes. When you see a forward line of proven internationals who are incredibly injury prone, and 20 minutes later, one gets injured, and we've still only got one left back at the club, and he's injured as well. So,
although we've got another proven international at number nine now.
We have a proven international left back, don't we, now?
Yes, Pascal, the big sad pirate, has got his call up.
While playing left back, therefore, is a left back.
Yeah, we know that he could have gone for any of the Benelux countries. Or is it Indonesia, his heritage as well? Yeah, so there's plenty of options there. Obviously, you're going to go to one of the European ones because he's predominantly from there, especially if they've been sniffing around him for a while now.
A chance of playing actually at World Cups and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it? And he's gone for one of the three Benelux countries. Is it Be or Ne or Lux?
He's gone for Ne.
That's the question.
Come for the Netherlands.
The Netherlands, yeah.
But good. Deserves it, I think.
We just need to tell him to not listen to anything Louis van Gaal says after he talks Gakpo out of moving to Leeds. He obviously doesn't know what he's talking about.
No. Or indeed.
Pascal should talk him into it.
Or indeed anything that Diego Llorente says as well. Just ignore. Just focus on yourself.
You do you.
Yeah. You seem to be doing okay. He hasn't done very well though at left back, I think. He's done better at left back than Firpo did, truthfully. As much as I think having a proper left back might give us a better shape, I think he's done really well there. So well done, big pirate.
Long may it continue and so on and so forth, yeah. Is he a big sad pirate or just a big pirate?
He's just a big... I don't think sad's the right word for him. He's very understated. He seems quite shy, doesn't he?
He's a big handsome pirate, isn't he?
He's very handsome. He doesn't get talked about enough how handsome he is.
Mm.
Maybe it's just my personal taste, but I think he's a very nice looking boy.
Good. I think if we have a centre-back pairing of him and Robin Koch, we should automatically qualify for Europe for being so handsome.
I would say so.
He does. Robin Koch is the World War One pilot Lothario, isn't he? Mm. He's got that kind of vibe about him.
Most handsome pairing since Butler and Gregan.
Indeed. Leeds women, another win. Good.
Yes. Beat Middlesbrough 2-0 with Johnny Howson in attendance.
I thought you were going to say he was playing then for a second.
No. But his daughter was mascot for Middlesbrough.
Oh, bless.
So he was seen there.
But he was cheering on Leeds, I heard.
He went up in money.
Yeah.
He knows. He knows, really.
Who scored? Tell me.
Laura Bartup won and scored a penalty.
Hot shot, Bartup.
Yeah, she's good. Good player. And then Sarah Danby made it 2 in the second half. And we are now second in the league.
Just behind Barnsley. They seem good, though. Goals 4-10. Goals against 1.
Mm.
And they've won 4 out of 4. But we've won 3 out of 4. Lost only 1.
Yeah.
Is it one? It's only one team that goes up, is it?
Yeah, that's the problem with this league.
It sounds like a fix, doesn't it?
Yeah.
They've seen who's second. Then no Leeds. We're not letting them up.
Yeah, the band in York and Newcastle, their owners very graciously allowing the women to play football.
Yes.
Very good.
That
very
is good of them.
Very good of them to allow that, at least in this country.
But this is the Northern division, isn't it? So you've got like at the bottom of the league, you've got Merseyrail. So I presume they came up, did they, last time?
Up on the rails?
Yes. They've lost 4 out of 4, conceding 15 goals on the way. So you can see the range of like quality, can't you, in there between like, you know, Barnsley and Merseyrail. Interesting. I want to see what outfit do they play in? Is it trains? Is it like Thomas the Tank Engine?
Looks like a fairly standard red and white stripe.
Right.
Disappointingly. It's quite a nice kit, actually. Nike one looks a bit like Atletico Madrid.
Okay. Have you seen Atletico's kit? Atletico's, their kit. It's
probably.
It's wavy stripes.
Oh, I don't like a wavy stripe.
It's the lowest selling home kit in their history or something, or sales have plummeted like 60%.
Not surprised. I hate it when they go wavy stripe.
Has the owner's son designed it or something?
That would be stupid.
Couldn't possibly comment on that, Rob. 21s, what's happened?
No, since we last spoke.
Pathetic.
We've signed a player from.
Have we?
Well, possibly, yes. So we may get to see our new signing on Friday night because we play away at West Brom.
Okay.
And I guess there's a chance, with it being a Friday night and game not till the Monday, I guess it maybe gives a chance for players to have a bit of a game in this. And then if you want to give someone half an hour, but then play them in the first team.
Poor Matteo Joseph. Such a promising start to the season.
Mm. He's been training with the first team, hasn't he? He's been spotted.
He deserves it. He's played really well at the start of the season. I've actually been more impressed with Joseph than I have Sonny Perkins. I know he's been getting a bit more of the hype being the new boy, but I think Joseph has been really good. It'll be interesting again to see who plays left back after Alfie McAlmont had a little go there the other week and scored a fine goal, albeit was at fault for the opposition's goal.
Maybe this is a chance to get all the lesser involved boys, get them all a game.
Who are you thinking?
don't know, whoever's lesser involved. It was Joe Donoghue, by the way, who tweeted to say that Mateo Joseph had been spotted training with the first team. He's scored 5 goals so far, hasn't he? Mm. But we're in that classic situation of depleting the 21s in order to supplement the first team, aren't we, again?
I mean, they've got loads of strikers, so...
Yeah, it's true.
Yes.
Chris Clarkson, left back.
Yeah, give him a go. I'm just looking at the fixtures on Friday. It's Burnley Norwich is on telly. Dear God. So there's no Premier League game, so hopefully we'll be able to watch the West Brom 21s game. Because yes. Obviously there's no blackout. Because when the Premier League's on, they can't show the 21s, can they?
Just stupid.
Yeah.
Do they have so little confidence in the Premier League product that they think Leeds against West Brom under 21s is going to drag such a big TV audience away?
Might do.
Stupid bloody rules.
So yeah, would you play Nonto?
Yes, at left back.
Oh, it'll be interesting to see if there's any chance of Firpo getting a game, actually. Because we're coming up to the time that Jesse said Firpo would be injured for. And there's been talk of him training and things like that. And, you know, an actual left back would be a real novelty this season because we've not had it yet. So maybe we'll see him have an appearance.
Potentially, I guess, Ayling and Cooper might make a bit of an appearance as well if they want to just give him a little practice ahead of Monday.
Get some minutes in your legs, lads.
Yeah, just give him half an hour just to see how they look and then take him off and, you know, keep him safe for the bench or get him injured, which is what seems to happen in a very Leedsy way. But like, yeah, he's just going to complete his comeback, just needs to play. Oh, never mind. But we'll see.
Exciting times in the Conlon household then, Rob. You've just moved house, haven't you?
The Conlon shared household, shall we say.
Have you had to employ the services of any solicitors to do your conveyancing? Because I've heard there are some good ones. Leeds-based ones, Leeds fans as well at that.
I should use, it's Levi's. I should use them, shouldn't I? But I'm still actually waiting for my deposit back, so I might have to get in touch with them to get in touch with my previous landlords.
So if you need somebody to write a letter for you...
A threatening one, ideally.
I mean, I'm sure that Levi's would never write a threatening letter. It would be completely above board and legally sound, I imagine, if they were to write a letter to anybody.
Hard to believe a landlord would try to keep a deposit as well. Great bunch of lads normally, aren't they?
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. This kind of thing does go on, but you don't have to take it.
And if you wanted 10% off that letter being written to your former landlord to get your deposit back, levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Mention us, 10% off your legal fees. How's that for a deal?
Very good. What else do they do?
Oh, loads of stuff. For business and for you as an individual.
That's good.
Do you want me to tell you about all of the things, or should we just assume that the person listening to this can have a look themselves?
Legal stuff.
Yeah, loads of brilliant legal stuff. All the good stuff. All the big topics. levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Here we're going to preview Forest then. So many signings. I mean, where do we even start with this?
Where do you start?
It's become a standing joke. They've gone absolutely mental, haven't they? It's Monday night, 8 o'clock, so no game over the weekend. What are you going to do with yourself?
I'm going up to Northumberland, actually. See some friends. It's nice, isn't it?
You got friends?
You got friends outside of us?
Oh, yeah. Kind of a big deal.
What will you be doing, Rob?
I'm not sure. It's a nice free weekend. I was writing about it on the blog, how when the rugby league season overlaps with the football season, you kind of have your weekend ruined by two Leeds teams. But the Rhinos are playing on Friday night in the playoffs, so they'll probably be knocked out by then, which means I can have a nice stress-free weekend, I think.
And you just spend the weekend getting over the misery before it brings us back round to Monday. We'll be all right. We'll win on Monday. New mid-table Leeds United beating these Johnny-come-lately promoted teams. Pah!
Okay.
What have you made of Forest so far? Have you seen any of the games that they've been on telly or anything?
Only match of the day stuff. I've mainly just been marvelling at their transfer business.
Their entire new squad. 21 signings, which is a record, I think, isn't it? A British record.
I don't even think we did this when we were kind of relegated from the Premier League and we're really scratching around trying to find, you know, get a squad together, having sold everyone. It's remarkable what they've done. It might work. I think they've signed some quite good players in there. It's just trying to blend them all together at the very last minute. Seems like a bit of a risk.
Yeah.
Seeing them lose 3-2 to Bournemouth, that's kind of, if you're chalking up much as we are, I guess for this one, if you're chalking up where your points are going to come from for survival, Bournemouth at home.
2-0 up.
2-0 up. That's definitely 3 points at that point, you're saying. And much like we need to beat Forest on Monday. Because if we don't beat Forest, things will start getting a little bit tetchy. Even though it won't drag us into the relegation zone or anything. It's a relegation sort of thing to do, I suppose. Is losing at home to Forest.
No, you're right.
You look at, the thing that kept us up last season really was we beat these crap teams, which, so yeah, you do want to, we need to get, well, we don't need to get a win, but we should get a win here, I think. But I mean,
but I was going to say, Forest fans are going to jump on you saying crap teams, but the natural order of things, as we found out last season, is if you know, when you come up, it's bloody hard work, and it can be really hard work even in your second season, even if you make the first season look comfortable. It looks like they're going to be somewhere in that mix, doesn't it, because of what they've done so far.
There are loads of crap teams in the Premier League. We were one of them last season. Mm-hmm. You've just got to beat the ones below you. They've signed three left-backs, which feels like they're taking the piss out of us a little bit, because I didn't think that was possible.
Can we get one on loan? Just borrow, lend us one. Go on, for a bit. Yeah. I mean, they do pass the first sticker book test, don't they, in terms of people were allowed in the Premier League. Because obviously we said Brentford shouldn't really be allowed in. Forest, fine. They're in, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
First time we played them this millennium in the Premier League.
Wow.
Imagine that.
I went to uni in Nottingham, and I used to work in the club shop, sort of under radar. And
you absolute fucking Judas. Yeah.
I wasn't there very long, but they really hate us as well. It was funny because I'd be serving people on the till, and they'd come up and chat to me about Nottingham Forest, and I was like, I don't care, mate, I'm a Leeds fan. And you could see them just the shock on their faces.
Well, now I know that's possible, I'm going to head straight over to the Leeds shop and carry out some interrogations.
Get a scroll. Who do you support?
Pictures of Mark Beanie. Who's this? Tell me who it is.
They've probably still got pictures of Mark Beanie in the shop, so they should know.
We would occasionally have to print the players' names on the shirt for like the match-worn shirts, and I think Andy Reid was indeed an extra large. That's all I remember.
I was looking back actually to the last time we played Forest in the Premier League and some of the players that were involved in it. Callum Palmer played for Nottingham Forest.
Did he really?
In those days, yes. As did future Leeds legend Dougie Freeman, was also in that team.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realise Palmer had gone to Forest.
So we won 3-1 in that game. So the Premier League form is with us.
Right, yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Just got to keep that going, haven't we?
That was a comfortable home win. And if Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, Ian Hart and Alan Smith can score again, absolutely fine. Richard Goff, I suspect, is too old to be playing still, given he was about 40 even at that point.
Let's find out how old he is right now. I was just going to say, what I like about this fixture is something you touched on there about you want the Premier League to be what it was when you were a kid, like when you were 13. Mm. Richard Goff, Welsh footballer? No, sure.
Scottish.
I know it's as Welsh, a different one. He's currently age 60.
Right, probably going to be a bit of a stretch for him then.
Yeah. Mm. Born in Stockholm, no less. That's exciting, isn't it? I was going to say it's a fun fixture, is this one, because we've got a chance of getting something out of it for a start. But it's Forest; they'll travel well, they'll probably sing well because they're going to be looking forward to this game because they hate us. You know, there's a bit of needle there, all centered around historical stuff, isn't there? Be it miners or Brian Clough or whatever.
Mm. Yeah, the miners' strike, to be clear, is what you mean.
Probably worth clarifying
what you mean there for any new listeners who maybe don't know the history of industrial disputes.
I'm just looking down their squad at all the players they have brought in. Dean Henderson, obviously, there starting at the back. Morgan Gibbs-White, the biggest one. That's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah, that was one of those ones that where you went, didn't we get that for Calvin Phillips, who's an England international? Anyway, never mind. All's well. A lot of money there.
They've even signed Lewis O'Brien just to spite us. Albeit, I think the only clip I've seen of O'Brien on Match of the Day so far, he sort of got the ball and just kind of collapsed to the floor, and then the opposition scored, I think. So
they got Wayne Hennessy as well as another keeper.
The one who did the Nazi salute, but didn't know about the Nazis.
Never heard of him.
Was his defence? He was like, don't know.
But then they've done the classic.
What you're telling me sounds bad.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, but I never heard of him until before. So.
And they've done the classic Liverpool tax thing of paying $16 million for Nico Williams.
Mm. Do you want me to run through their strengths according to whoscored.com?
Please do.
There you go. Done.
None. But then again, whoscored.com said that Dan James had no significant strengths, and then we know that's not right.
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tolerance, fortitude.
Yeah, okay, yeah. But being in the wrong place at the wrong time is Dan James's strength, isn't it, really?
Who's the left back these lot have just signed on loan from Atletico?
Lodi. Is it Renan Lodi or something like that?
But then, yeah. We should have had him. I don't know much about him, except that my son Sam signs him on FIFA. He's good, so... We should have done that.
Well, Forest are very weak at protecting the lead and avoiding fouling in dangerous areas.
Right.
They're then weak at scoring chance, finishing chances, avoiding individual errors, defending counter-attacks, defending set pieces, defending down the wings, defending against long shots, defending against through balls, defending against skillful players. Mm-hmm. So football.
I mean, they got absolutely schooled by Lewis Cook in the second half against Bournemouth. So, I mean, he's been like injured for most of the last 5 years, it feels like. So Adams and Rocker, come on now.
Yeah. I want to see us go into a game and dominate the opposition. I think it'll make me feel better about the state of play at Leeds, because you do start to get all wobbly and angsty, don't you, off the back of like a defeat like we endured at Brentford. Just to go into this and just a routine win would be lovely.
Yeah, I think it is must win, I would say, is this. Because in particular, the time we're playing them at, we're fortunate that they won't have had any time to settle yet. I can see maybe after Christmas, they might get the shit together a bit and actually know each other's names and stuff like that.
Yeah, because the international break for the World Cup is going to favour them, isn't it? It's going to give them time to kind of actually get together. And even then, it's still a task, isn't it, to put that many new bodies together?
Yeah, I think panic might kick in a little bit if we lose this. A draw wouldn't be a disaster, I suppose, but I feel like we really need to win this.
Yeah, well, if you look at the Premier League as you need to get 9 wins plus some draws, let's call it 10, just to be safe. 10 wins, these lot at home in their current state, and their record so far suggests they've not yet got it together. It's got to be, hasn't it? As you say, and that's not to say that we will go in there and it'll be a routine home win, but it should be a home win.
I also feel unqualified to really say how good they are because I don't know several of these players are who they're signing, like Remo Frula, Musa Nyakate, Tayo Awoniyi. I mean, I don't know who these people are. They might be brilliant. Oral Mangala.
I don't even think we've actually been able to fit the whole list of signings on. I think there's only 18 or 19.
Yeah,
here.
Seems to even though it was from an article called the 21 players they've signed, they've not put 21 players on this list. So I can't be bothered to do the research to find the extras. There's loads.
They've got a lot of players in their squad. Good God. I'm just looking through their squad list. It goes on for pages. I wonder with Forest, I've been chatting to someone who's got a Forest pal and saying, I wonder at what point Forest will start to hate the Premier League when the fun kind of wears off. You know, the novelty aspect of being in there will wear off because it's a grind, isn't it, a lot of the time, particularly as a new club. I mean, I'm looking at their record so far. They opened with a defeat, routine defeat to Newcastle.
They didn't, did they?
Yeah.
I thought they won their opening game.
No, they didn't. Wrong. And then they came back to the City ground and beat
West Ham. First home game it was,
Beat West Ham 1-0, which they should have lost, basically.
Yeah, they got battered in that, more or less.
Drew with Everton, and then three defeats on the bounce, Spurs, Man City, and then Bournemouth.
I mean, Spurs and Man City, you can write off, can't you? I mean, I do it this year, and we're into our third season in the Premier League. I would go, fine, whatever. There's almost no shame in losing 6-0 to Man City. Fine. Yeah,
they've conceded 14 goals. Obviously, that Man City game has coloured that somewhat. But even three at home to Bournemouth.
But the Bournemouth one is the bad one because Bournemouth are dire. And as Scott Parker said, they've got a load of shit players. I mean, I'm paraphrasing there. But that was more or less what he said. How on earth are going to keep this load of dickheads up?
I think what we're skirting around here is that this is a should win. Michael, you're framing it as a must win. I was joking with Phil Hay about this. Saying
must win obviously isn't correct because if we don't win, we'll still be outside of the relegation zone with many games to play.
But if we don't win, it looks bad.
Yeah. I've penciled this down as a win in my head, so I want it to be.
And that's about the size of it.
I wouldn't look forward to next week if we don't win because it's going to be one of... I mean, we've seen the reaction to this weekend, which is understandable, but you think, Christ, if you follow that up with not beating Forest, people probably will lose their shit a little bit.
And I assume if fit, we will be seeing Liam Cooper return.
You would hope so, wouldn't you? Yeah,
you would think, surely, he will play. Or we'll have to reshuffle things in a way that Llorente doesn't, because I feel like it's a game that has, as you were saying earlier about taking Llorente out of the firing line, it's a game that has the potential, if he fucks something up, even if they don't score from it, if he does something daft in the first 5 minutes, everyone will go, fucking hell, get him off! And it'll just create a really horrible atmosphere around the place.
It doesn't even have to be a big mistake either, does it? Just a bit of miscontrol or give the ball away.
Or more skipping over the ball. Yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't be great.
Yeah, take him out, not permanently, that would be rude. But yeah, put Cooper, if Cooper can play, put him in.
Yeah, I think he will.
Especially if there's a game that, you know, that if Cooper needs to kind of ease himself back into the Premier League, you'd rather it was Nottingham Forest at home than going to Old Trafford, so, you know, 6 days later, wouldn't you?
Yeah, true.
I like the idea of Ayling hopefully coming back into the team as well.
Yeah, if his nose is up to it. I don't know what the treatment is for that. I mean, obviously, he was able to play on with it in the state it was in.
Reset it, don't you?
But doesn't it take a while to sort of stick?
Is he going to wear one of those masks?
That'd be good.
For bionic Ayling.
That would be great, wouldn't it? Feel like a superhero. Okay, so dare we call it as a home win? Or do we just want to frame it as a should win and probably need to?
That.
Yeah, we'll win.
Okay.
Does that make you feel uncomfortable, Michael?
No, it's fine. I thought we'd beat Everton as well. Truthfully.
It's still early in the season. I'm trying my best not to be too stressed out by it all.
Well,
so
we've
far.
Got the new Premier League's new breakout star in Luis Sinisterra. He's going to score again.
That's true. He's been fun to watch, hasn't he?
And I think young Brendan's had a couple of kind of just not below par games, but he's not stood out. It's time for him to shine again.
And Bamford might be fit to start this one as well. I know,
and he'll be itching to play because it's his club, isn't it? His Forest.
It is, of course. So yeah, he's had he's had a couple of sub appearances without injury, hasn't he? So he must be edging close to at least a full half.
Good, looking forward to his injury then, Michael. Thank you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Heroes and villains, will pick one of each from the last 7 days. First is the Ken Bates Villain of the Week Award, named in honour of our former owner and chairman who made us all pretty miserable for a bit. So who has made us sad this week? Diego Llorente.
Diego Llorente. Plus referee Rob Jones.
Yeah. I mean, so many people nominated Llorente.
Misbehaving when bathing, nominated Llorente. Mm-hmm. Which was maybe a little bit harsh. Billy B. nominated Science, the experiment to see what happens when you sew a man's legs on the wrong way around and replace his brain with a potato is a step too far.
TJ is sort of blaming someone else while nominating Llorente. The swamp witch that cursed Diego.
Can you say that?
I'll leave the second bit off.
Suggested he's got a meth dealer, which he obviously hasn't. It's a comedy device, isn't it, to highlight the incompetence in his performance. Sazzy Bobby, Reese, Tim Tom.
Is it loads of others?
Yeah, loads of people nominated. Thank you. Rob Jones, the referee.
Mm.
I'm a bit like this about blaming referees for heroes and villains. Like, it feels like we're unloading responsibility for the defeat, onto the ref. But it was gross incompetence, wasn't it?
It's what referees are there for.
Yeah, fair point.
Part of the fun. One of the things that first attracted me to football as a kid was that I could stand on a seat and shout the referee's a wanker even though I was 10.
Yeah.
And normally that would have, at home, it'd be like, you can't really... You can't really be saying that. Like, don't speak to your grand like that.
Who's the bastard in the black? Who's the bastard in the black? No, Nan, sorry.
But no, I think it's fair enough that we slag him off. And in line with it, I suppose, as well, VAR. Philip saying, VAR officials, the system itself is fine, but if the referees are using it as shit, it's pretty pointless.
Mm.
Which we did see, that basically was the fault of it. If they'd have pulled it back to look again at our decision, which Jesse wanted them to, he did ask nicely-ish.
I'm getting sticky. You haven't even put a name on this. Who's this coward?
What's this?
For suggesting my point a goal stat has failed completely when you concede 5 absolute gifts. No, it's over the course of a season, isn't it?
Well, I know, but what if we lose every game 5-2?
Yes, we won't though. But if we go and beat Forest 2-0, or whatever, we'll have got 12 goals and we'll have 11 points on the board, so it'll still track there or thereabouts. It's like it's over the course of a season, so go away. not having criticism.
Well, I'm just having a look at the league table now. Manchester City, 20 goals, 14 points. Not fair, that.
They've wasted 6 goals there, haven't they?
They really have.
But it just goes to show how ridiculously far ahead they are, doesn't it? That's the thing.
Except they're not the second.
Yeah, I mean, like in terms of like squad building, they've got Haaland in there, just scores for fun, and they've put 6 past Forest, haven't they?
Yeah, Haaland is like cheating, really. They shouldn't have been allowed him.
Oh, but someone, what's that? Arsenal have scored 14 goals, 15 points. Imagine that. Spurs scored 12, 14 points. It tracks, is what I'm saying.
Ish,
it does.
They're all different numbers, aren't they?
Newcastle, 7-7. Southampton, 7-7. It tracks.
Sometimes.
West Ham, 4-4. I'm only picking out the ones that
of course,
prove my argument, which is what you do with any kind of...
That's how you argue on the internet. Ignore the other data.
Ignore the evidence that doesn't suit you.
Exactly. That's absolutely fine.
Another Dan has been on nominating Bamford for his miss.
I could have scored that, he says, which is something you do say quite often.
Oh, my nan could have scored. To bring nans back into it, my nan could have scored that.
Luke Varney couldn't have scored it, though, as we've seen in the past.
Yeah, Luke Varney was closer in. Managed to hook it back off the line, didn't he, against Southampton that time?
I mean, Brentford as a concept actually quite underrepresented in this. There's a couple of nominations from the concept of it and all the rest of it, but you can't get offended at Brentford, can you? I mean, they deserve to win. They've got, you know, Tony, a good player up front, made our stupid defence look stupid.
Mm.
What can you do?
Neil Masterman nominates Janssen.
Yeah.
As in Pontus.
Mm-hmm.
The Danish have probably got loads of Janssens. For being a bit of a wanker, pretending he doesn't wish he was still at Leeds.
Mm.
Which is true. I know Brentford fans will say otherwise, but...
Yeah, of course he does.
He was a lot more concerned about Luke Ayling, I noticed, than whoever the Brentford player was that went down. Janssen went over to Ayling to make sure he was all right.
It's going to be VAR, isn't it, or the ref? Which one? Are we putting them together?
I mean, it's kind of one and the same. We did see who was the ref who actually went to look at the screen and didn't give the decision.
Michael Oliver, that was the Forest game.
Yeah.
I mean, that one's, it was a weird one, that, because I don't know if that was a penalty or not.
It was kind of the sideways handball, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really know how handball works now.
No, I don't either. I watched it loads of times and went, yeah, I don't know, flip a coin. It'd be good if refs did that sometimes, actually. If they watched it ages and went, I can't tell, can you?
It goes, the VAR, man. VAR, then the screen, and then to the coin.
Is that they just go, here we go. We won a European tie on a flip of a coin once,
didn't
we?
Yeah, we did.
Before they had penalty shootouts.
Yeah. They couldn't be separated as they flipped a coin, end of extra time.
Bring it back.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. Bring it back for VAR.
I actually quite liked
it. If you can't decide within the first minute of it, just flip a coin.
I quite liked what Michael Oliver did, because it goes to show there is a point potentially to sending the refs to the screen. And if they get it right here, if they push through with reform on this, and the ref has it within his gift to then say, I'm not going to be pressured into overturning this just because you think I should.
Mm.
It's a sign of at least a strong ref, whereas I think they're all made of candy floss at the minute, like from an emotional point of view.
I mean, part of the issue could be that you get a strong ref who will steadfastly stick to a bad decision. It's like, no, I'm sticking with the decision. And people on the ear might be going, yeah, but there was actually no contact whatsoever. And you go, shut up. But I won't be spoken to like that. You're carded.
But that's fine. It means you can direct your hatred to the guy on the field rather than Stockley Park.
So what this is building to, the logical conclusion, get rid of Stockley Park.
Yeah.
That's the real obvious way of getting rid of this.
Was it Keith Hackett who suggested that they should have the VARs at least at the ground rather than in Stockley Park remote? And it would then enable the VARs, like assign specific VARs in ref teams.
So you can choke stuff at them?
Yeah, but that's what they did some years back, wasn't it? Was to assign fixed ref and linesman teams to basically stay together all season. So there's like, they understand how each other works.
Mm.
And it just makes decision-making that much better and more harmonious, I guess, is the right phrase. And by putting the VAR ref into that dynamic, maybe it changes things a little bit and they learn how to work together. It's one of like a 12 points that he listed as possible reforms that would make the whole shit show better.
Because it is a shit show. West End Ralph has an idea as well. He says that he doesn't understand how no one has had the idea to look at it in other sports and go from there. They use it in rugby league.
Arrogance.
We are not rugby league fans, are we, Dan? But no. You do like rugby league. Does it work in rugby league?
I mean, I've been against VAR from the start, because often it doesn't work properly in rugby league. It's a bit of a mess at times. But
it does work in, though. Rugby union, it does.
And you hear it, don't you, in rugby league as well? That
I think it's only on when it's on the BBC, weirdly, he gets to hear the video ref, but not on Sky. But the problem is, when you're just sending one subjective decision for another man to have his subjective opinion, it's always just going to be a bit of a mess. Like I always say, you look at a newspaper on a Monday morning, they'll always have columnists from a ex-ref talking about the weekend's decision, and quite often you look at different papers and they'll have different opinions and you think, well, how are we going to work this?
How is it any different in terms of assigning the blame game to a ref giving a shit decision inside the stadium? It's not really, is it? So it at least it's familiar ground for us. You know, you can accept a bad decision if you can at least understand the reasoning of it. You know, that's maybe what it should be there for.
I'd like a bad decision instantly, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. To be fair.
I think it would improve the flow of the game.
Yeah, penalty, fine. It's wrong. Fuck off. Don't care. Just take it. Take it and move on.
Of course, the board have got some pelters this week as well.
Jesse Marsh nominating him.
Right. Oh,
not really. It's a trick.
Jelly and Grumpy Git Kev among those who've nominated the boards for general direction of travel, is it, this week?
Jelly says they're the three horsemen of the apocalypse. The only reason humanity's survived is because they've left in charge of recruiting the fourth.
Excellent. That is a great line. Who's your villain of the week, then?
Ref stroke VAR.
Are we letting Llorente off the hook?
I was going to say we're being kind to Diego. I don't like giving it to our own players.
I don't really. And he's had a lot of stick. I'm sure he knows he's done wrong.
Mm. Yeah, he knows he's been a naughty boy, doesn't
Whereas
he?
Whereas the referees have gone back to their own little referees compound and probably all been like, good job, guys. Had a really good weekend here. Solid. No, yeah. Nothing went wrong at all. Do you think with VAR, because it felt like this weekend has spiralled out of control with it, do you think one thing going wrong makes more things likely to go wrong?
Yes.
Because psychologically, everyone gets in a weird space with it and is like, oh, we know that thing's gone wrong at Newcastle.
Well, perfect example is Jesse Marsh's red card. That on its own probably, you might think, doesn't warrant a red card, but that's been coming for weeks. Mm. So they clearly all talk and have been saying, we've got to clamp down on his behaviour. So I think it spirals.
With VAR, I don't, it feels like, you know, if you've ever been in like a near car accident and then you feel like you drive like an absolute idiot for a bit after it, it feels a bit like referees have done that this weekend. Some stuff's gone wrong and they're all panicked by it and have just completely lost their minds.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to understand as well, I think, from their point of view, like, even though they are refs and therefore perverts, as Moscow described them the other week, they are still caught up in the middle of the Premier League circus, aren't they? It must involve, being in the middle of a game, still must involve a lot of adrenaline. Mm. And some of that must transfer to the VARs as well.
Yeah.
Like, you're thinking that there's so much at stake. This is going around the globe. It's like being, I don't know, I guess one of the researchers or somebody important on the X Factor on a Saturday night, you know, and that we've got to get this live broadcast right. Mm. It comes with expectation, doesn't it, about the scale of the product that the Premier League is.
And as a ref stood in front of a screen going, you have to make a decision on this now. Watch this and then tell me. I don't fucking know. That's where the coin should be an option for.
Yeah. So if are we saying after a 2-minute time limit has expired?
Get the coin out.
1 minute?
Give me a minute.
Other people have said like you should be allowed to look at the replays from like each angle once. And once you've viewed all those, if there's no decision, you just got to stick with it.
What if you miss something on one of the replays, though? That's the difficulty of it. There's always going to be some scope for it. Just get rid of the fucking thing.
Yeah.
Get rid.
Okay. Bring in the coin.
Bring in the coin to at least add an element of fun.
What would you put on the coin? Would you go for a standard coin or would you go for a specially minted Premier League one that they could flog off around the world?
Oh, you got to just go for something. Let the refs bring their own thing.
How big would it be? Would you like a massive coin that
a big novelty chocolate coin?
Yeah, like those ones in Starbucks you get that like about yay big.
I think I made a money. Think I've got a Starbucks.
Well, of course you're not. You know, there's a bloody kettle at home.
Exactly.
But are you aware of them then, Rob?
I've heard of Starbucks.
Metropolitan young man. They're about, I don't know, maybe 5 inches across or whatever. Nice big coin like that, you can see it.
Mm.
That'd add some visual spectacle, wouldn't
it? You keep the gold wrapper, don't you? But it's just empty, it's hollow.
And then you could eat the coin afterwards. That should be part of it. Yeah. The ref then has to run around chomping on it.
With a belly full of chocolate. Right, great. So it's the refs and VAR.
Fine.
Good. The Gaetano Berardi Hero of the Week Award, let's do that. Someone who's made us feel happy, who's represented what's good about Leeds United over the last 7 days. Obvious place to start will be Sinisterra, because he's done some good stuff.
Yeah, but Thomas Frank's sweaty grotto has got in touch to say, just, it's fine, isn't it? just keep him on the field and give him the ball. It was the policy with Rafinha.
They're just picturing the walls, like these uneven, rocky walls with sweat just dripping down them onto the floor. Sorry, go on.
Sweat and other bodily fluids, potentially.
Yeah.
But yeah, keep him on the field, give him the ball, let him do stuff. Easy.
Brooksy, Chris, Keith, Ginger Paul, Ethan, Jez and Craig all weighing in on this one, Sinisterra. Yeah, he's good, isn't he?
Yeah, it's the short.
He's good.
Short reason for his nomination. I mean, his goal got completely overshadowed, didn't it? Because they scored five of them.
Yeah. Was it Moscow who said, actually, was it in his match report when he said, if he'd have totally yabowed it into the top corner, they'd be talking about it for goal of the month. But all the skill was in the flick over the head, wasn't it?
Mm. Mm.
And it was just, then he just rolled it into the corner like it, you know, it was just everyday business.
He's got this real calm air about him of just, yeah, I'm good. I'm better than you. This is what I do. Like his finish against Everton.
Mm.
You sort of thought, oh, weaker foot, quite far out. Oh, he's just rolled it into the bottom corner. Nice one.
That's what he does.
A low shot never looks as good, does it? Even though I think from a goalkeeper's point of view, they're harder to save. Something really low, like into a low bottom corner.
Mm.
Because obviously you've got to get down to it and they tend to be quite big, the goalkeepers. So it's probably a smart finish, but yeah,
Not sexy enough.
Start twatting me off the crossbar if you want people to really enjoy him.
And maybe we see that against Forest. Right, on to Luke Ayling, the return of the Ayling. Sarah's been in touch.
We're struggling here, trying to find some joy in this, but the joy is Luke Ayling. Thank God he's back. Within a few seconds, he's broken his own nose and he's put an assist in. Welcome back, Bill.
Oh, you didn't put the opening swooshy sound on there, did you?
Taking everything.
Sorry about that. Been substandard at your job again?
Sloppy. Very, very sloppy. But yeah, it was the Luke Ayling overlap. I'm sure we could go back to previous games and look where Rasmus has not gone at that point. He's been in a position to overlap and he's not quite had the confidence.
Is he scared?
Maybe a bit. Whereas Ayling was like, fuck it. The face is already ruined. Let's just get stuck in and put a ball in. So yeah, it was great, was Ayling.
The bit I liked about that as well, because I think it was from a corner, wasn't it? And he sprinted back to sort of get back in position in case they countered, and then Leeds kept the ball and he sprinted again forward. Yeah. And he put that together with the broken nose, and it is sort of the Luke Ayling we've all grown to know and love.
Yeah, so he's got a lot of nominations. Simon, Irish and Annoyed, Dave, Rossman, Sam Not Byram, Sir Richard of Castleford's back as well. All with nominations for Bill's return. Yeah. It's nice to see him. And as Phil was saying on the Phil Hay Show, there might be life in the old dog yet.
Yeah, I think so. I'd not written him off. I'd started to see that this was maybe his last season. And then you get a little cameo like that and you're like, oh, he's still our best fullback.
I think that's the nice thing. Obviously, he's got a year left on his deal and you go, all right, then play well, you get another one. Mm. That's how it should work.
Yeah.
And it's a good start so far.
Being rewarded for good output.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it with Forshaw last year, didn't we?
What's Michael's excuse?
How dare you?
You didn't even put the clicky whoosh noise in.
Wrong yesterday. I had to go to hospital with my son with a split open head.
What were you doing? What did you do that to him for?
Hey, no, it was a trampoline incident, not involving me, I will say, but a clash of heads.
Oh, yeah, classic. Oh, did they go down? And
it's quite bad, actually.
I've seen the pictures, and I did wince a bit.
I felt a bit queasy with it, but he's fine anyway. Glued it back together.
That's what they do now, isn't it?
No bother. Same as Luke Ayling's nose. Just stick it back somehow on his face, like more or less straighten it up.
Some Gorilla Glue.
Exactly. Never Marsh. Did Steve Bruce the arm, did it?
Jesse Marsh getting hero nominations this week, which feels slightly controversial, given the way it's all gone.
Well, some people like it.
So one of the nominations here is from Llorente takes acid before he plays.
I mean, Costa Blancas does come with the caveat as well. Marsh in his video with Nonto, shame he's a clown who thinks getting sent off is going to help anything.
Llorente takes acid before he plays. These names are getting a bit out of control, aren't they? But yeah. For acting on the sideline, like we all like watching. But that's both a good and a bad thing, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, Scrooge is saying that his theatrical performance is far stronger than any written message could be to the refs club or whatever it's called, that the whiny-faced fat characters do to get an apology. Fourth official. Strange.
He also gets a nomination for calling out the board, probably unintentionally, but still good to know the truth.
The fourth official.
The board can't blame it on bad foreign man who didn't want any players to be bought this time.
The fourth official, sorry, as I've been trying to say, got a nomination by Luke Ayling's boxer nose.
Mm. Oh, for, yes, he gets it for not putting up with Jesse Marsh's bullshit.
Yin and yang, all this. So Liam Cooper, some of the outriders here, I think Liam Cooper gets a nomination for being back and not being Llorente, fair enough. Mm. Global warming?
Yeah, for the slow impending heat death of the planet. And I guess Sinisterra's goal was good, so him too.
Okay. Again, a bit nihilistic, isn't it, all this stuff? Did you hear Lee Dixon did the co-coms on the international feed, and he said allegedly, didn't he, about global warming, alleged global warming being the reason why goalkeepers don't wear caps anymore. Explain the logic of that if you can.
Has he been chatting to Matt Letizia or something?
I don't know. Strouk, nominations for his call-up, a number of people there, Bobby Eyebrows, Jelly Scott and Scrooge.
Yeah, Jelly refers to him as a big, sexy, total football pirate. Which is good. Looking really good though.
Can you read out the Rocker nomination? He's got a few little sprinkling there. Can you read the top one, please, Michael?
Rocker.
In the authentic accent of Jimmy Walker from Oaktown, California.
I don't know what a California accent's like.
Well, it's an American accent. They're all the same.
He bust his ass and deserve the goal, maybe two.
Not good enough. Do it again.
He bust his ass, man.
And?
And he deserved a goal.
How many?
Maybe two.
Good. Thank you. And Riley Clement, quietly doing really well in the last two games, gave him hope for a point after his goal. Yes, Nonto, he's short and strong and likes an espresso.
No, like an espresso.
Oh, like an espresso.
Short and strong, you see.
I fucked it up, haven't I?
And with little ears.
And
which is also nice.
James, his parents, for getting time off work at the last minute. That was good.
Yeah, it was good to see him come. I mean, It was cute video. I'll give him that. I like him so far. I want to pinch his cheeks. Come here.
And Tyler Adams has got a couple of nominations as well.
I want to pinch his cheeks. He looks dead muscly too. He'd probably kick my head in.
He'd beat the fuck out of you. You're twice his age and he'd kick the shit out of you, wouldn't he?
Yep.
He'd absolutely put you down. Right. Tyler Adams got a couple of nominations as well. Hero of the Week, who is it? Sinisterra, isn't it?
Probably, yeah. Or Ayling.
Him or Ayling.
Ayling got his nose all smashed up.
Yeah. So he suffered for his art, didn't he? It was nice to see him. I said that I tweeted out from the accounts and it was like your mate just popping around for a coffee you didn't expect. The doorbell goes, oh, who's come round? I better put my pants on. And it's Luke Ayling stood there and he's, I've brought you these pack of biscuits. And you just come in, have a coffee and chat about old times.
He took it in his stride with his nose as well, because I think if that had happened to me, I'd have been like, I think I need to immediately go to hospital with this. Yeah. I can't see it. But I know it wasn't.
I mean, the fact that I can't breathe is.
I know it wasn't here when I started the day. So, like, it's well over one side of my face now. But I mean, he just cracked on and provided an assist.
And given that you did have a journey to hospital for your son, you understand what it's like to suffer like that.
Sort of, yes.
Yeah. I'm just trying to build you up here, Michael.
Okay.
So after your shoddy performance with the clips, So is it Sinisterra or is it Ayling? I feel like we're leaning towards Ayling.
I think Sinisterra won it last week, didn't he?
Ah, let's give it Bill then.
Yeah, spread the love. All right, Bill Ayling is our hero of the week. Nice to see him back. What else have we got coming up this week then? Phil Hay Show is on Thursday. We've got the extra ball where we talk about, we're going to do the transfer window in more depth. Was it good? Was it bad? Have we got warm bodies? Are they cold? All that kind of thing. Or are they slightly tepid?
Let's not.
That's quite enough of that. Thank you. We'll wrap the show up there.
10% off your legal fees.
Yeah, we'll go speak to Levi solicitors right now. About this show, and we'll speak to you later in the week, potentially.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.